we've gone through a lot of different things, and I've got a lot that I want to be able to share with you. I want to remind you that as we are a people in fellowship, that means that we're not by ourselves. First, the fellowship with the Lord, and then with each other. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for joining us online. Get into fellowship. And I do believe face-to-face is so much better. But I would rather us at least have some connection than none. And I want to invite you to continue to reach out to people. I've invited you, and so I don't want to guilt trip you, but I'm going to just say it like this. If you can reschedule your plans on Saturday for an event that will bless your socks off and encourage you, strengthen you, and remind you of the good news and why it's important to share, would you please come and join us 8:30? But Aaron, it's 8:30 to 4, and that's one of my days off. Don't take this one off. It's not just work. It's a great opportunity to be encouraged. I am an evangelist by God's design. I love to share the good news with people, which is probably why I preach so often about that. And I know that most of you, and probably online too, are in Jesus already, already got the good news. Cool, man. All right. Yeah. But I mean, I love to tell people. This training, and I only had like a couple of hours of it, this training was like revolutionary for me. And why? It just reminded me of how good the good news is and how important it is to share it. Discipleship is helping one another know and follow God. And so please, you can register for it, but if you just show up, we're going to feed you. But you're going to get soul food, and it's gourmet. I'm talking about the Bible, because the food's just going to be what it is. But all right, here we go. 16 verses, one story. Gosh, we're at the end, if you will, of the Old Testament portion of this. And we got that idea of 16 verses, one story from this book, The Whole Story of the Bible in 16 Verses by Dr. Chris Bruno. Something really cool, and I wanted to share this with you, is that we've been looking at how people just kind of kept finding ways to screw up and how God just kept showing them his faithfulness. It's kind of like the guy that was in a car, right? And he was driving, and there's this dog that jumped out, and he didn't want to hit the dog, so he swerved to the right, but that put him down an embankment. And then he went right into a river. And it was freaky, and he was near death, and he gets out finally. I mean, it was a struggle, right? And he gets out, and then he climbs up to the bank, and he gets up to the top, and a tree falls on him. It's a rough day for that guy. But somehow the ground was just so soft. It hit him and it crushed him, and he might have broke a bone or two, but he was living. And he's like, oh gosh, he digs himself out from underneath that, and he gets to the side of the road, and he's thumbing for a ride. And a car clips him. And he rolls back down the hill, back into the river. And he had to make a decision at that point. Should I just stay here? And what do you do? Where's your hope coming from? Is it from your efforts, your ability? Do you keep seeing God provide a way out? Because he has. And he continues to. It's always Jesus. It's always his spirit. It's always the goodness of God. It doesn't always look the same on how you're like, oh gosh, there's a perspective shift. And so today I get to share part of the God planted, man uprooted. That means we screwed things up, but then God regenerates. I get to talk a little bit about that, but I really get to talk about new creation, and I need that so much today. I need to know that it's not always going to be this way. You guys, I don't love golf. I have family members that love golf. I have a little brother that is a professional golfer. Shane, if you're watching, why aren't you at work? No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're here. But he's a golfer, and so a lot of my family watches golf. And I just remember watching one time, a long, long time ago, there was Phil Mickelson, who's undergone a whole lot of stuff lately, and he's in trouble, blah, blah, blah. But before that, he hadn't won any major tournaments. And he was really close to winning this one. It was like a sudden death thing. And it was with a guy named Payne Stewart. And they were going against one another. And Payne Stewart had won quite a bit. This guy had been through a whole lot in his life. And he had come to Jesus. And he was quite a character. And he was quite a competitor. Well, it's these two at the end of this sudden death. And Payne Stewart won. And Phil Mickelson choked again. And his head's just down like this. And they come in, you know, because why not just get right into the grief of what's going on, right? And the camera zooms in, and it's these two. And Payne Stewart grabs his face, like Phil Mickelson's face, and he says, "You're going to be a dad." And he just totally gave him perspective. His wife was expecting their first child. And though he didn't win this tournament, second place isn't too bad, by the way. You get a few, right? But he was bummed out and then got put in perspective. You're going to be a dad. You guys, today I hope that's a perspective shift for you, this message that there's new creation. It's not always going to be this way. And so with that, I want to bring you to the reality that the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, is that God's people just could not keep their promises. And they kept messing things up. God's like, I'm going to put my guy on the throne, and that'll never change. But the guys that were before Jesus all screwed up. You guys might remember me saying this, that people were like, God seems to really use messed up people. Who else can he use? We're all falling short of the glory of God. We all need him, even when we've got him. The already not yet, which you'll hear more about later. You're welcome. I stole it from you, and I'm taking it back. You guys, I want to share with you, before we go into the New Testament for the next 5 weeks and looking at Jesus and how he is the complete fulfillment of all of these promises and all the covenants, and specifically looking at him, I want to look at one more prophecy from Isaiah. And so we'll go back to Isaiah 65, and it'll be verse 17. In the midst of all of the pain, all the agony, all of the failure, God was pointing forward to a solution that was going to be him, because he alone keeps the covenant proper. He alone keeps it fulfilled. So here we go, Isaiah 65, 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." Anybody looking forward to that? Come on. I'm just going to read it one more time. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." Can we take that in? New. Really, from God's standpoint, it's not new at all. It's renewed. So what we're talking about right now is actually a creation and a plan and a fulfillment that is a renewal. But for us, it's new. We don't see what everything was like when it was perfect. We get glimpses of it every now and then. You can have a day that's really, really nasty weather. And some people love that kind of thing, right? A storm and everything. But when you call it, I don't know, months of that kind of thing, you long for just a little bit of sun. I got a chance to baptize a young man who was about Casey's size. And I am who I am, right? And so we were going down to the river. He was, I don't want to give too many details because I don't know if he wants me. I mean, this is baptism, so I won't give you his name, but I'll say he was at one of the military academies. He was really fit, again, like Casey. I don't hate you, bro. I'm just saying, good job. But I wish this kid was 10. He was 19, and he was like 6'2". And he was absolutely all of 190 pounds. Bam. And it was this gorgeous day, but it was January. And about 10 minutes before we go down to the river, because he's like, oh, I want to go in living water. And all that, I'm like, cool, right on. Ugh, right? But I'm like, we'll do it, in and out. Clouds come in. And then, I didn't know you could do this when it was so cold, but there was lightning. Again, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but lightning and water, not always the best combination. But I'm like, all right, Lord, this guy's want to do this. I'm like, you good, right? And he's like, yeah, I still want to do this. And his family's like, can we just do like the prayer thing in the car? And they go, I'm like, yeah, sure. But what was really, really, really precious is there was just a tiny break in the rain, in the nastiness when we went into the water. It was still super cold. And when I dropped this guy down, he went stiff as a board. Just blank. And I'm like, I killed him. But he gave his life to Jesus. So it's a good news, bad news thing, right? Well, okay, see ya. But he was down, and I deadlift this dude out of the water, and he does one of these. And I'm like, he wasn't breathing. Gosh. And it was just so many highs and lows, but it was like new creation. You're in Jesus. I mean, walk in the newness of life. No, seriously, walk. I need you to walk. Let's go. And it was really, really cool. And it was such a perspective shift. It was like this weather is nasty, and yet there was a break. This faithfulness and this obedience wasn't going to be put off for better weather. And I was like, okay. And that was deeply convicting. So let me unpack a few things for you. In Genesis 1:31, if you want to join me there, you can. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. Genesis 1:31, we heard way, way, way back in January. You remember that month? I'm just kidding. It's too far ago. In Genesis 1:31, we heard that God said this. Everything that he made was very good. And there was evening, there was morning on the sixth day. For us to talk about new creation, good news. It's not new to God. It's renewed. God never changes. He knows what he's wanted. He knows what's happened to us. He knows what the solution is. And he wants us to walk in that. This is renewed like it's supposed to be. In Isaiah 1:18, and I don't have that on the screen for you, you hear a little something that should be very encouraging for one, two, or maybe all of you if you're willing. I love my daughter Genesis, Marie, Day, Samick so very much. Isaiah 1:18 reminds me of her because her birthday is 1:18. It says this, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. I'm not going to count all your stuff against you. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to restore you. But that isn't just for everybody. It's for those who would have ears to hear and eyes to see and want to be renewed, want to be made new. But I can tell you this about God, and I'm just going to give you some verses just like in succession. So you can join me in John 8:58. God has never changed. Jesus has never changed. He's always been awesome. He's always been God. He's got all these Jews around him, and they're really just peppering him with questions. They're trying to catch him up in a freeze. They're trying to just stop him. And they're like, look, your father Abraham longed to see my day. And they're like, you don't know Abraham. You're not even 50 years old yet. How could you be talking about Abraham and seeing him and knowing him? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't struggle with the English language. He was saying Yahweh. Before Abraham was even a thought, I existed. This is the God who wants to renew and restore. That's how he started the whole thing out. Perfect God had perfect community. He wasn't looking for some people because he was bored. He made people for his glory and for fellowship with him. And we blew it. And he's like, I want to restore that because I've always been that way. In case you don't already know this one, I'm going to ask you to join me in Hebrews 13:8 to just kind of confirm that Jesus is really exactly who he says he is and always has been. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Somebody needs to hear that today because people are trying to change who Jesus is. Look, I'm not comfortable with always telling people, hey, what you're doing is wrong. But I'm less comfortable with disrespecting God. And so if something's wrong, I'm going to ultimately spit it out. But not just with what's wrong. I want to show them what's right. And who's right. And he's been the same. Always. And so just to really just cement this home on this, for God, it's a renewal. And for us, it's being made new because we don't understand all of how awesome he is. Let's go to Revelation 4. And I'm going to read 8 through 11, but I have 8 for you right here. And here's what's up. This is a really weird scene. This is the throne in heaven. It's God's throne. There's 24 thrones around the throne of the Lamb. And there's these elders that are on it. And they've got crowns and thrones. And then there's these funky beasts that have eyes all over them. And they look like a lion and an eagle. And I mean, it's just crazy. One's got the face of a man. And this is the end, by the way, of what we would understand. Everything is like in heaven now. And everything has been made new. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. What? And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne. And how long were they doing that? Do you guys remember? Right, I mean, we just read, like, they never cease to say this, but I love it, like, John, who's writing this, is like, and whenever they sing this song, and we already know, when did they sing it? All the time. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, like he's spilling it out of his mouth, the 24 elders fall down before him who's seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They've got a throne, and they've got crowns, and they're like, ah, that doesn't matter. That's what matters. Look, we love it. Like, I'm a Christian. You can't tell me what to do. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Shut your mouth. I mean, in some ways, I think it's probably really good for us to remember exactly whose we are when the world wants to tell you that you're not anything. You can say, oh, you're so wrong. But like people want to try and take away your rights. They want to try and take away your position. They want to try and take away something. You're like, I'm in Jesus. You can't take anything from me. Nothing that isn't already mine and going to be mine forever. And these guys just prove it. They're in heaven where everything's great. And they've got whatever a position is, they have thrones. And they get off of them and they throw their crowns and say, this. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Woo! You need some good news? God made everything, and he's going to restore it and renew it. His kingdom, we just sang that it would come. Do you know where it starts? Anybody? Where's his kingdom? Right here. Right here where? Who said in us? It's true. Who said everywhere? It's true. Oh, my goodness. But for us, it's a little bit different. We don't quite feel it that way all the time. It doesn't quite look that way. It looks like a maternity hospital getting blown up. Why? Because they were hiding weapons in there? I don't know, but a maternity hospital. It looks like a little girl walking for 8 hours to get water and carrying it on her head for another 8 just so her family can have water. You guys, she got water. There's this place in Africa, Ethiopia to be specific, where these people had to go down this deep, deep, deep crevice to get water that was contaminated, but it was the only water available to them. Except they had water underneath their feet because God provided that. And it took people to get together the funds, which for us, together isn't that much. For those people in the village, impossible. And they drilled, and they made a well, and water came out. There'll be a day when nobody has to fight for that. Nobody has to beg for that. So when I say that it'll be new for us, and that it's not new for God, it doesn't mean that it isn't needed and that it isn't amazing. One day, there will be no problems. Today there is, but his kingdom is here, in us and through us. And I don't just mean Americans, and I don't just mean white people, and I don't just mean rich people. I mean his people all over the place. Do you know that there's people reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ this very day that you will never meet until heaven? They don't look anything like you, but they got the kingdom message, and they're proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and they're helping people be made new today. Do you know who isn't your Savior? Amen. But we do have a Savior, and his name is Jesus, and he wants to make all of us new. Daily, by the way. Already and not yet. You're already new, and you're not yet perfect. So before I get too excited about this, and we're going to do this at the end, right at Celebration Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, we're going to get really into just how rad and glorified everything is. But before we even get there, let me say one thing to you. I'm not making heaven our Savior either. Heaven's awesome because God's there. Uninhibited. But he's here. And he's awesome here too. There's people that need Jesus, and that's why he hasn't come back yet, but he is coming back. So when I say new, this is what some of the new is going to look like. And you can just see how different it is from what we see all around us. We're going to go back to Isaiah 65. So you can join me there really quick and we'll finish up there. Isaiah 65. I'm going to go 18 and 19. And then I'm going to skip and go to 23 and 25. So here's 18 and 19 of Isaiah 65. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, God says. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, not just happiness, but joy, and her people to be a gladness. Now we're talking, right? God's people, joy, gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and I'll be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. I'm not going to be mad. They're not going to be sad. It's all going to be good. Perfect. Verse 23. And this is what it'll look like for them. Amen. Get that good. He's so content. Did he get himself a bottle? Okay. I ate brisket last night. I made that same noise. Okay, here we go. They shall not labor in vain. How many of you are like, oh, gosh, I'm just slogging away the hours? Yep. And you're a young buck, but it's still coming, right? Hey, we like feel like, well, I just want to do something that means something. I want to have a job that isn't in vain. Well, there will be a point where there's no more labor in vain. They won't bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Generational blessings over and over again. Before they call, I'll answer. You start to say something, he's like, got you. You don't even need to finish. I got it. While they're yet speaking, I'll hear. And this one, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. I bet there's a ton of animals be like, cool. So glad you're a vegetarian. Please don't take that as a you should be a vegetarian if you want to be a Christian. That's not my message. All right, come back. And dust shall be the serpent's food. You remember that at all? Where was that promised? God's consistent. He's faithful. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I'm so tired of hurt and destroy. Pain and destruction. Would you continue to give us eyes to see where you are good and at work, even in the midst of pain and destruction? God, I pray this in your name. Amen. Again, from a biblical theological introduction to the Old Testament, what a title. That was the title of the book. Michael G. McKelvey says this. It is the experience of reversal. This is what renewal and new creation is. The experience of reversal from deprivation, being deprived, to comfort. From anguish to restoration. From captivity to freedom. From shame to beauty. From mourning to joy. From despair to praise. From ruins to rebuilding. From exile, being kicked out, to the inheritance of a portion of God's world. Dear friends, as Christians, we are in the already and not yet. There are pictures of beauty, and there's a lot of reality of ashes. This God that we trust and we follow and we believe is making all things new. He started with us. Not too long ago, we talked about faith and on a Tuesday night, which again, I invite you wholeheartedly to come and talk about God's word with us and chop up the message and chop up, most importantly, the idea of God's text being given to you as a guide for life and just to get into it. But we talked about faith, and it was Hebrews 11:1, and it wasn't until this week, and I've read this a lot of times, and we talked on that just a little bit ago, but it wasn't until this week that I realized that this is an already not yet kind of statement, and it's about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You want to see people set free? Have faith. It's not your faith that makes them set free, but have faith in the one that sets captives free. Now, he also says you get to choose whether you're a pastor, whether you're a provider of goods, whether you're a child or an adult. He's the one we have faith in, and he's the one that provides a set free, a from deprivation to comfort promise. And you get glimpses of it now, and one day, that's all we'll see. But he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Like, God, I know it's not happening yet, but it will. And please don't hear me go all Joel Osteen on you and tell you just believe that your truck's coming, and it will. You just trust Jesus, and your bank account will be bigger. I'll tell you this much. If Jesus gives you a big bank account, share it. And I don't just mean with Crosswater. I mean with people all over. Very, very soon, we're going to have clarity on where we can give directly to help these orphans that are being displaced. 300,000 people. Over a million are out already, but there's 2 million. Over 300,000 are in Moldova, which is a tiny country and way poorer than Ukraine. And they got 300,000 refugees just in that little country. But pretty soon we'll be looking at how, not pretty soon, I'm waiting to get confirmation because I don't want to just send money. Be well-meaning and it goes to something else. But some of these babies that are getting out of the war are going into trafficking. And we need to be not only praying, but we need to be intentional in whatever ways we can to help them. And we're looking at what that looks like in organizations that are under the radar. But we're going to be sure of what's hoped for and certain of things that aren't seen because God has got it figured out. Here we go. This last little quote again from Michael McKelvey. As the servants await God's salvation, they live in the tension between joy in the vision of the new world and mourning for the present world. We're already aware of the good news, and we believe the promise, but we're not yet there. So we got a tension that we live in. We believe the good and the new, and we believe that we can be made new, and we can be billboards for God's goodness and grace and his kingdom. But we also live in a world where every one of us, like Casey so eloquently said, are going to die. I follow this guy on Twitter that says, like literally every day at one point, he says, you're going to die someday. And for some reason, he's super popular. But he also gives the good news of you can live forever. They coexist for now, but not always. Friends, we need to stay rooted. We need to stay rooted in Jesus, in his word, in the good news, in believing that what he promises is true. And I'm not going to play footsies with you. I only have a couple minutes left, so I'm just going to tell you that my mom being sick, my mother-in-law being sick, I mean, my father-in-law died, what was it, Kathy, almost 3 years ago now. I mean, I've been a part of many, many memorial services, and I've been a part of three in, the last 3 weeks. Death is very, very real. But life forever to me is seriously just as real. But I've struggled with how the world is, how the church has been. I mean, like, God, why didn't you just fix everything? I mean, you gave your son. He rose from the dead. He ascended, gave his spirit. And we're 2,000 plus later, and it's not all fixed yet. I've asked, like, what's taking you so long? And he's given me lots of answers, and sometimes I accept them. but 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Isaiah, he's not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness to be. He's wanting many to be saved. He could come back and it would wipe out all the people that aren't yet saved. I want him to come. The only reason why I don't want him to come back yet is because I want more people to be saved. But his story, his timing, let's go, God. I would love for him to come back. And not just because I have daughters that I don't want to see get married. I mean, I wish I was joking. I'm blessed. I have daughters that are married, and I'm very thankful for them. But legitimately, as a dad, I used to think, yeah, come now, Lord Jesus, and fix my kids. Fix this mess. But what about the broken people? Let's tell them the good news. I invite you one last time before we pray to come to this training, 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. Could you call it something else? Yeah. It's all you can eat soul food. Come to that. I have a bunch of questions for you. I'd love for you to look into those. They're on the app. They're on the screen right now. For the Live It Out today, I ask you, we're going to record that, and then it'll be put up later on a little bit in the week. I want you to really try to go to that. And I'm just leaving you with a cliffhanger because I think it's a really simple thing. And God put it on my heart this morning, but I think it might be one of the better things that I've heard from him in a while about how to focus in on the new in the midst of the broken. So let's pray. Jesus, today and every day, you're awesome. You're righteous. You're holy. You're perfect. You're so other than us. And yet, we're in you, and so we are considered righteous and holy. I don't know that we're awesome, but I'm really thankful that you love us in an awesome way. I pray for my friends and my family, for strangers, for kids that I'll never meet, for adults that have spent their whole entire lives in a one square mile type of area. I pray, Lord, that they would be made new, restored to relationship with you, and that they would understand their worth to you. They would understand that you don't want them to be separated from you, but you're calling them to you. And I pray for those of us who know you that we wouldn't keep the good news to ourselves, that we wouldn't hoard, but we would give away because we could never, ever outgive you, and we could never, ever fully give away all the love that you've bestowed on us just as individuals and then your whole body of believers. God, we're yours, and we thank you for that. And I pray for my friends that aren't in you yet. They're just like, I just don't get all this. If God was good, then why do bad things happen? I thank you that you have let us choose, and you've given us the way out. Though our sins were like scarlet, you've made us white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to be new. Help us to be different. Help us to be restored. Help us to fulfill the fact that you aren't going to dispose of all of the bad alone. You're going to restore all of the bad to the good that it was supposed to be. God, I can't wait, but I have to a little bit. So give us eyes to see and ears to hear the ways you're doing that in everyday life. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, y'all, God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Don't keep the good news to yourself. The world's literally dying to hear it. All right.